her daughter was vexed grievously with the devil. And when I read this story, I think of many parents that I've come in contact with in my ministry and in my life over the years. But it also was reminding me that there are so many that I haven't met, that I don't know, but they're out there. There's parents that are hurting, whose children have gone astray, and they're away from God, and they're vexed grievously. And if somebody doesn't get to Jesus on their behalf, their life is not only going to be a living hell, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. And I pray that God would just wring our hearts this evening, squeeze our hearts, and let us see that we can make a difference. It's not a matter if we can make a difference. It's a matter if we're willing to make a difference. Brethren, we can make a difference. God is our helper. Amen. God is our helper. And so if we're willing to make the difference, God will work through us to make the difference. Mark chapter number 7, we'll begin our reading in verse number 24. I want to give you just a little bit of a backdrop. The Lord Jesus has been traveling through mainly Jewish territory, and he's been ministering to Jewish people. He has sent his disciples into the lost sheep or the house of Israel. And now he has stepped over into some Gentile area, and he's beginning to minister to Gentiles. And so this is one of the first occurrences that he has when he runs into this woman who was a Syrophoenician. She spoke Greek. She was a Syrophoenician by nation. And so she was outside of the covenant promise of the people of Israel. And thus we get a little bit of a different response that you'd really not expect from the Lord Jesus. But I'll try to help explain that tonight as we look into the scripture. Verse 24, the Bible says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." And I just want to say, no, he cannot. Amen. The world's been trying to bury him for hundreds and thousands of years, and he cannot be hid. Amen. And I'm glad that he can't. Verse number 25 says, "And for a certain woman whose," and I want you to notice this next phrase, "whose young daughter," and if you would take the liberty to look that word up, you would find that it means dearly beloved, like the apple of her eye. And any man, any woman here that has a young daughter knows that's exactly what that young daughter is, the apple of your eye. "Had an unclean spirit," and take note to this next phrase, "heard of him." And I want you to remember that. We'll come back to that. Here's this woman. She heard of him, okay? Didn't know him, never met him, but she heard of him. Well, she came and fell at his feet. Verse 26 says, "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled," which is really important. That leaves the door cracked, that she does have an opportunity here. He hasn't shut the door. He didn't say, "I'm not doing it." He said, "But let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. He said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the power of your word. It's precious. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would hover upon this place tonight. And as you did that servant, as we looked into your word this morning, God, you would open some eyes this evening and help us to see into this passage of Scripture what you have for your people here tonight. God, I believe with all of my heart this is a preordained meeting. You have who you want here, for a purpose. And so I pray that that purpose would be fulfilled and that the name of Jesus would be magnified. Speak to our hearts, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. If you would take your Bible now and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 15, we'll look at what's called a parallel passage in the gospel. The book of Matthew, he gives us the same account. And I'm just going to give you some highlights, okay? I have a few thoughts on my heart that I'd like to give you out of this passage of Scripture. It's hard for me to read this passage of Scripture without thinking about the humility of this woman, the hurt in her heart, and the conscientiousness that she had of her need. It's something that's missing in our society today. We have folks so full of themselves, so full of pride, so full of arrogancy, that it's rare that you see a situation like you see in that account that I just read to you, where a woman comes and she realizes, God, I don't deserve anything, Lord. I don't deserve anything, but I'll take whatever you give me. Amen. What an attitude. What an attitude. And brethren, it's that attitude that we need to get back to. I want you to notice that this woman wasn't demanding anything out of the Lord. She had to be taught some things. She was ignorant of who Jesus was. How do you know, preacher? I'm going to show you in just a moment. She had only heard of him. She had only heard of him. See, there's many people in our communities, young and old, but in particular the young generation, they've only heard of Jesus, and most of what they heard is all in a negative light. They've heard of some church that has pandered the gospel, or some church where some leader has violated a child or run off with another woman. Some negative thing about a church. Some negative thing about Jesus. And that's all they've heard. That's all they know. They don't know Jesus like you know Jesus. They don't know Jesus like I know Jesus. They don't know Jesus like this book portrays Jesus Christ. They do not know him that way. And it's our responsibility, it's our privilege to carry the name of Jesus to them and share with them who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how he can make a difference in their life. But we must be willing to humble ourselves. We must be willing to be persistent. This woman would not give up. You'll find in this account that I'm going to read to you in Matthew 15 that when she approached Jesus Christ, she approached him in a wrong manner, and Jesus did not even respond to her. Do you think that she folded up shop and left and didn't come back? No. The disciples were even saying, send her away. Send her away. But she stayed because she had a burden on her heart. She had a need in her life, and she wasn't willing to go away until that need was met. Would to God that we would have that kind of faith. Would to God that God would stir in our hearts that we could get to this place where this lowly woman was. Matthew 15, have you found your way there? Look in verse number 21. And here's Matthew's version of the story. The Bible says in verse number 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, this shows a little something about the ignorance of this woman. See, him being the son of David really was not a ground that she could stand on. He was a son of David. This is a messianic term. This is a term that the Jewish people realized and recognized. What was she doing? She was doing what so many people in our culture do today. She was relying on religion to get her to Jesus. She was relying on religion to get her an audience with God. Can I tell you, religion won't get you an audience with God. Religion won't take care of the need that you have. Religion won't get your need met. She was thinking, the only way I can get to Jesus is through a religion. Can I tell you, you don't need a religion to get to Jesus. This woman didn't need a religion to get to Jesus. You don't need Catholic. You don't need Methodist. You don't need Pentecostal. You don't need Baptist. Hear me now. If you want to go to Jesus, he said, come unto me. Come unto me. Bypass religion. Bypass works. Bypass family. Come to me just as you are, and I will deal with you just where you are. Amen. You see, so many churches, so many people say, well, you know, you've got to join this. You've got to be a part of this. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Listen, I am so glad in my soul that Jesus will accept you just as you are. Now, when you come to him the way you are, you will not leave the way you came. Somebody say amen with me. That's not going to happen. Why? Because he's a difference maker. Jesus is a difference maker. He makes all the difference. And this woman had heard. Now, because Jesus had been ministering in the Jewish region, no doubt she had heard from the mouths of many of the Jews. And so she thought, well, I've got to do it the way they do it. I've got to do it the way the Jews do it. So she went to him and she approached him on a Jewish grounds. And she came to him and she said, have mercy on me, thou son of David. And I want you to notice how the Lord, I want you to notice how I responded. It's rather surprising. You would not expect Jesus to respond this way. The Bible says in verse number 22, but he answered her not a word. Didn't even respond. Now, you know, me knowing Jesus the way I know Jesus, and I think if you were to just be honest with yourself, you would say, well, I really wouldn't expect that from Jesus. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, here's a woman who's coming and she's pleading. If you'll notice in Mark, when you research that, you'll find the word besought. That word means beg, plead. She was earnestly pleading with Jesus. So don't you get the idea that this woman was kicked back in an easy chair and she just casually said, oh yeah, and by the way, Lord, I have this daughter and she's messed up. And I was just wondering if you could just put in a word for her. That's not the way it happened. This woman came out of the crowd and she was saying, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus, thou son of David, please. Oh God, please. My daughter has a devil. She's grievously vexed. She's going to die and go to hell. Lord Jesus, do something. Do something. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, we read it and we don't get into what's happening here. The Bible says this woman was begging. She was begging. I want you to notice that when she cried for mercy. She didn't cry on her merit. She cried for mercy. God, I don't deserve anything. Lord, if you gave me what I deserved, I don't want what I deserve. And that's what mercy is. God, please don't give me what I deserve. I'm crying for your mercy. You see what's happening here? This woman understands. She gets it. She gets it. So few people in our country, in our culture anymore get it. That there's so many people walking around like God owes us something. Why did God do this? Why did God do that? What is God doing? What he chooses to do. He's God. God can do whatever he chooses to do. God doesn't have to check with us. He's God, amen. And yet we live like God's got to check in with us before he lets it rain for 2 weeks. Amen. Before he does something that maybe he didn't confer with us first. Brethren, God is in charge. God is in control. We need to be checking in with him. We need to be finding out what God is doing to get on board. So this woman had the right attitude, all right? Now, she came, and she came in a humble spirit. Now, she didn't come properly because she didn't know how. All she was doing is probably what she had heard others do. She had heard others address him as thou son of David. He had been ministering to the Jewish people. All she was using was turns. She had watched people, and so she was doing it the way that they did it. Now, with that said, that concerns me. Because I believe people today are doing the same thing. I believe if we were to fast forward into our day, we're seeing many people do things the way that they see other religious people do it. And so you be careful. You be careful what you pick up around religious people. And make sure that it comes out of the book. Amen? Amen. Prove it by the scripture. Know that God said it. Understand it. If you don't understand it, get some clarity. So, number one, she was agonizing. She was disturbed. Why? Verse number 22 says she has this problem. And so she began to pray, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Why? "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." You know, I'm not going to go into it again this evening, but it's kind of the story of mainstream America, isn't it? I mean, children in America are grievously vexed. It's sad. It's sad. And someone's going to have to get involved. And I just can't help but believe that God doesn't want you and I to get involved. You say, "Preacher, we are involved." Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful to God for that. But I just believe we can get more involved. I believe there's more that I can do. I can't speak for you, but I just feel that God wants this ministry to get more involved in the lives of the youth in our communities. Make a difference. Make a difference. Listen, you want to make a difference in a family? Do you really? You say, "Preacher, I sure would like to see that little boy across the street. I sure would like to see him get shown some attention. I hear his mom screaming at him. I hear his dad calling him all kinds of vulgar, filthy names." It happens every day, doesn't it? Every day. Just screaming out vulgar, filthy names at those little children. That ought to break your heart. Say, "Preacher, I'd like to go over there and sock him in the nose." No, what you need to do is go over there and get on your knees and say, "Sir, can I tell you about somebody that can change your life? Can I share somebody with you that'll change not only the way you talk, but the way you walk and the way you treat your family and the way you live your life?" See, that's what they need. The old flesh wants to go over there and sock them in the nose, right? Because of what they're doing to that little child. But if you want to change them, really change them. Listen, that might change them for an hour, a day, a week. But if you want to change them forever, give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You really want to make a difference in a child's life? Tell their daddy about Jesus. Amen? Tell dad and mom about the one who has the power to change the life, to change the heart, to convert the soul. So here's this mother. She came, and she came on the religious grounds, and it was rejected. Jesus didn't even respond to her. Verse number 22 says, I'm sorry, verse 23 says, he answered her not a word. Now watch this. This gets even more disturbing. Verse number 23, it says, and his disciples came and besought him. So we got the woman begging him, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter." Now we got the disciples. See that word besought? That's begging. That's what the word means, pleading. So he come, the disciples come, and look what they're saying in verse number 23. Send her away, for she crieth after us. This woman won't leave us alone. Now you're talking about a woman with a burden. Amen? This one right here was going to get something done. I like that. Can I tell you, that's what we need right there. That's what we need. This woman was not going to, she wasn't going to leave without something getting done. That's what we need. We need some people with some perseverance, with some stick-to-itiveness about them that will not give up. I sure would like to have a little dose of what this woman had. I'm being sincere with you. This woman's got what it takes. There's something about mama, right? There's something about a mama. When her little baby's in danger, there's just something about mama. And I think that that's what's happening in this woman's life. She knew that her little daughter was on the verge of destruction. And she had heard about Jesus, and she went the only way she knew how. And Jesus didn't say a word. You know, silence is awkward. You ever walked up to somebody? Now, I want to put you in this passage. Listen to me. You ever walked up to somebody and said, "Hey, listen, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something really important." And then you tell them, and they just stand there and look at you. And you're thinking, "Okay, did you hear me? I mean, I'm through now." You can respond. So that's what happened here. So she goes up and she's pleading and she's begging, "Lord Jesus, Have mercy on me. My daughter's grievously vexed. Thou son of David. The Bible says Jesus didn't answer a word. I don't know if Jesus was doing anything. I don't know if he was involved in anything. But if he was, he didn't even stop. I don't even believe he stopped. I just believe he just acted like she didn't even speak. Now, this wasn't hurting her. This was helping her. It was teaching her something, as we shall see in just a moment. And then on top of that, you've got these disciples that are just carrying on like, get rid of her, get rid of her. Hey, I thought y'all were his disciples. I thought y'all wanted people like us to come to Jesus. Amen? Right? I thought the disciples wanted people to come to Jesus. I thought y'all were trying to get people to come to him. Isn't that what y'all do? See, the world knows what we ought to be doing. We know what we ought to be doing. The problem is, we're not doing it a lot of times. And again, I'm not punching on you and beating you up. I'm just saying, God help us. God help us. Watch what happens. Verse number 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, it's about right here that a lot of people would have said, oh, well, okay, you know, wrong person, wrong situation. I'll just take my wares and go somewhere else. But not this woman. Not this person. Too much at stake here. Too much at stake. She knew she was at the right person's feet. If you'll study, the Bible says in the book of Mark, she fell at his feet. Okay? And so she knew she was at the right place. She knew she was before the right person, but she just wasn't sure. There was something missing. And the Lord Jesus is talking her through it. Right? So she says, thou son of David! He said, well, I'm not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's helping her. He's bringing her along. All right, now look what happens next. Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. What's missing there? Thou son of David. She didn't go that route. Now she got it. Okay, I'm not a Jew. I'm not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see what's happening here? Do you see it? But that doesn't mean that Jesus will not receive me. That just means that I don't come that way. I come as I am. I don't have to be somebody else to bring my problem to Jesus. I don't have to come exactly the way they did. I don't need that to get to Jesus. I just need to come as I am with my need, humbly before the Lord. And so that's exactly what she does in verse number 25. By the way, verse 25, it just says so much about the faith of this woman. The Lord Jesus didn't answer. The disciples are saying, send her away. But she didn't go anywhere. Praise God for that. Can I tell you, there's going to be times you pray and you're not going to get an answer right away. Just like this. You're not going to get an answer right away. You say, I'm going to pray, and God won't say a word. And then you're going to hear other people say, why don't you just quit praying? God doesn't answer prayer. You're going to hear the voices. Here they come, right? The devils and some of their disciples, right? And they're going to say, oh, God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't want to hear that. God's got too much going on. God doesn't get involved in those kind of things. All the voices are going to start coming. And you and I are going to be tempted to say, well, you know what? Maybe I should just quit praying about that. Don't you quit praying about that. You keep on praying. Keep praying. Especially when it involves the soul of a child. You keep praying. This woman did not give up. She didn't give up. Now, there's a mother in here, a dad. I'm just sure of it. You've been tempted to quit praying. Don't you quit praying. Don't you quit praying. You say, but preacher, you don't know. They've gone pretty far. You can never go too far that you can get out of the reach of God. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. Amen. And the ear of the Lord is not stopped. God can reach them, and God will hear you, and God will do something, but you got to keep praying. You can't give up on them. Don't give up. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants us to quit. This woman didn't quit. Verse 25 says that she worshiped him. She didn't get angry at him, and she didn't say, well, just if you're going to be that way, if your disciples are going to be that way, then I'm just going to change my mind about religion and church. That's not what she did. Amen. She came, and she worshiped, and she said, Lord, help me. Verse 25, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I don't have time to go into this because I want to be through by a certain time, but I want you to hear me. You know what he's saying here is really, it's a good little term. It's like a little puppy. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, I could almost see him looking at her and just smiling, saying, yeah, yeah, you've got what it takes. I believe Jesus looked right through her eyes, right into her soul. God knows our hearts. Amen. You say, preacher, if I know my heart, you don't. You don't. But God does. God knows your heart. And the Bible says here that Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. And basically what he's telling her is, listen, you are a Gentile. And God has a order. And God's order has never changed. And don't you ever forget that, okay? God's order has never changed, and it's not going to. It's to the Jew first. You say, well, that's Old Testament. No, that's Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And so he said, well, it's not, you know, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, this woman, didn't offend her one bit. Actually, you know what this woman did? This is one of the greatest scriptures in all the New Testament, in my estimation. The Bible says in verse number 27, she said, truth, Lord. You're right. You're right. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to sit at the table with you. I am a low sinner. It's not of my people of the covenant promises. What do we know about the oracles of God? We have no priests, no prophets. We have no godly heritage. We're heathen. We're pagans. And God had mercy on us. We've been grafted in like that olive branch. Listen, if we could just somehow get a hold of that, brethren, it would change the way we live our lives. This woman got it. And she said, you're right. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. God, I'll just take what you give me. I just need you to do something for me. Amen. God, I know what you do will be right. I'm just asking you to do something for me. What an attitude. What an attitude. Now I want to close with this. I want you to notice what Jesus tells this woman. When we go before the Lord, and we just state simply, Lord, help me. I need you to help me. God, I have a burden on my heart. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought, do we? You ever gone before the Lord and you just can't put it into words. And the Bible says that that's okay. Listen, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, he helpeth our prayers and our intercession. He helps us. And he takes those groanings that we offer in prayer, and he will reveal our heart to God in the throne room of God. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 8. This woman was there. She didn't know. She was low. She was hurting. She had a need. She had a burden for a young child. It was hers. I wonder when's the last time, and I had to ask myself this question, when's the last time you've got a burden for anybody? As far as that goes, but for a young child, you've looked at a little child and you've thought, you know what? If I or someone that loves God doesn't get involved in that young man's life, it's going to be a sad story. If someone doesn't get involved in that family's life, it's going to be a sad, sad story. Do you pray for people? We Christians are good about talking about prayer. Young people, look right up here at the preacher. God wants you to pray. God wants you to pray. Say, I'm not going to pray. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. on a life of adventure. You're going to miss out on a life of miracles. God does miracles when He answers prayers. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to ask God for hard stuff. Ask Him for the big stuff. Amen. I was just reading this past week where Elisha told the servant, you know, strike the ground. He struck it twice. He said, you should have struck it three or four or five times. That would have been how many victories you would have had. Sometimes we don't ask enough of God. The Bible says that. And it says you have not because you ask not. God, help us to be people of prayer. Now let me give you this and we're through. When this woman exercised faith, when she went in a humble spirit, the Lord Jesus dealt with her and He said, I'm going to do this. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Look, if you would, in verse number 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, woman. Amen. I mean, she got His attention. Amen. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Faith gets God's attention, brethren. Faith gets God's attention. It does. God, forgive me for my puny, weak, unbelieving soul. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to please God. You say, preacher, I'm going to come to church every service. I hope you do. But it takes faith to please God. Preacher, I'm going to stop giving 10% and give 20%. Well, if you do, that's good and well. But it takes faith to please God. Preacher, I'm going to do all kinds of good deeds, and I'm going to go out and put forth all this effort. That's all fine and well. I hope you do. But it takes faith to please God. Faith pleases God. Without it, it's impossible to please Him. He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Hey, can I tell you, Jesus is not through healing people. Jesus is not through performing miracles. Jesus is not through, brethren. We need to pray to move the hand of God. We need to get to praying, to get involved in people's lives and make a difference all around us. I would like to show you a trivia. You ready? I'm going to ask you this question. We'll close our service tonight with a word of prayer. There's two times in all the Bible that it says that Jesus marveled. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Jesus marveled. Marveled. You know what that is? You know what it is to marvel? That's to take note of and say, wow. Right? You ever looked at something someone did or you watched and you marveled? You just stood back and marveled at it and said, wow, that's something. The Bible two times says that Jesus marveled. Do you know that? Both of them deal with faith. Both of them. Matthew chapter number 8, turn there. And we'll see the first time that Jesus marvels, it's because of great faith. It's the centurion. When he came to Jesus in Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus said this to this centurion in Matthew chapter number 8, in verse number 10. You can read this account in your own reading, in your own setting, where this centurion came to Jesus about his son. But I want to get down to verse number 10. It says, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now you think about that for a moment. The Son of God, all powerful, all knowing. There's nothing he can't do. And yet he marveled at this man. Why? Look what it says. The Bible says in verse number 10 that when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Great faith causes Jesus to marvel. Did you notice in that account we read that he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. I believe Jesus, though it doesn't say it, I believe he was marveling. Wow, this woman, her humility, her spirit, her faith. That's what God's looking for. Now, the flip side is in Mark. If you'll turn there in Mark chapter 6, we find the second time that the Bible says, that doesn't mean it's the only time that Jesus did marvel, but there's only two times that the Bible says that he marveled. One, Matthew 8:10. The second time, Mark 6:6. Turn there if you would. Mark 6:6. The Bible says, and he marveled. Are you there? Mark chapter 6 and verse number 6. And he marveled, Jesus now, and he marveled because of their unbelief. A lack of faith. He thought, you know, I came here and I thought I would find great faith here. But your unbelief has caused me to marvel. Now, I believe that I speak to a group of people tonight that would love to please God. And if we had our choice that God would marvel at us, I believe it would be on the side of great faith instead of unbelief. But we get to choose. We get to choose. I want God marveling, and I believe you do, but I don't want it to be because of my unbelief. I don't want it to be because I don't think God's in the healing business and the miracle working business, the saving business, and that God's getting ready to shut up shop and just close this thing down. You listen to the world long enough and they'll tell you the church is through, but I got news for you tonight. This thing's not over till God says it's over. Now you hear the preacher tonight. No man, no church, no religious institution, no president, no dictator, no world power is going to shut down the church. This thing's not going to be through until God says it's over. God's in control. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's not be those that Jesus would marvel because of our unbelief, but rather let us be those that have great faith and that God would marvel. Let's bow our heads together. It's been a good day in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask the pianist to come, and I'm going to ask you to play softly, and as she does, I wonder tonight, today as God has moved in our hearts, I pray that he's moved in your heart about getting involved in the lives of others. So often we get involved in things that really at the end of the day don't mean anything. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. I want to be a part of something that's got eternal value. I want to be a part of something that's going to last while the ages roll. The souls of men, women, boys, and girls. While the world is capsizing, chasing their dream. While the world is capsizing, chasing another religion, another experience. God help us to be firmly found on the foundation of faith in the Word of God.